has done.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses, given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Let me get the button pushed here or we'll get the outro music. And good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brothers. Glad to be here this evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
And from here. A beautiful day and thanks for letting me be here. I know we've got a couple callers. I'll keep an eye and an ear out for them and looking forward to a good broadcast. And just to let you know, we've got our Branson meeting coming up. I know of at least a couple of people that have talked about coming and wanting prayers for and deliverance, and so looking forward to that. And I know that that'll be a blessed event, and it'll be a blessing to those people coming as well.
Fantastic. And we do thank everybody for joining us this evening on Hope is Alive, the show about testimony. And what is that testimony? Those who have been delivered from that which has tormented them. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, formed at the hands of Christians who were told by their Lord Jesus, greater works than these you shall do also. We do thank you for joining us this evening. And if you have any questions about deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. That's a website with a fantastic array of tools there, just the click of a mouse. Or you get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that book. Want that book, we'll get it out to you. Or I know that book will probably be available in Branson on the book table. So we are looking forward to Branson coming up. And if there are any of you out there that are needing deliverance, and it would be a rare Christian who doesn't need it. If you're fighting depression, fighting anger, fighting past things from your life that just don't seem to want to go away, there's a good chance this could be affecting you by a spirit that's in your life, a demonic spirit that wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy, because that's their assignments against us. And sometimes we just need a little help with other Christians to get these out. So if you're needing deliverance, please let Richard know at the office. He'll get a hold of me, and we will make sure that we have a man who's trained in this to take care of it for you. Pastor, it's good to be back after a week or two off.
It seems like a long time.
It does.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what you were saying there, Ralph, how when we find out we have a problem that is spiritually based, it has something demonic behind it, it is actually great news because, you know, people go to doctors, they go to prayer lines, they go to a psychiatrist many times for years, when if we can find out there's an evil spirit behind the problem, we have an answer there, that we have been given all power to deal with it in Jesus' name, and we can actually cast it out, and the problem goes with it. Is that a deal or what? Amen?
It is a deal. It is a deal. And it is just, you know, sometimes you have to kind of pinch yourself to think that we have that authority, that we have the ability to do it, and when you see it in action, it's just an awesome thing to see. An awesome thing to see. Well, Pastor, can you give us some updates? You got about 2 weeks worth of Monday nights to tell us about.
Well, let's see. We had I think it was 9 cases total last week, and we had about that same number the week before.
And that looked like the numbers that I saw from the emails. It was around 9 or 10. I couldn't remember exactly what.
Yes.
But it's that normal number, about 9 to 11. We almost always have.
I had a good case this Monday with a man that came over from a small town up near Tulsa, and we had a great ministry. He brought his 21-year-old son. I think it was, maybe it was 19. Anyway, his son got ministry as well. Was one of the ministers, but this man had a hip problem that was painful, and by the end of the ministry session, besides other problems coming out, spirits coming out, his hip pain left, and so he had kind of a funny look on his face, and he kept saying, well, do something to cause pain, and he was squatting around and twisting, and no pain, praise God. Well, that's our Jesus. And he uses little us as vessels to speak in his name and see these exciting things happen. I've been at it 40 years now, and it's a continuous excitement of being in his service and seeing the supernatural take place.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that is what it is. It's exactly how you explain it, supernatural. Sometimes there's really no other way you can explain it. Because if somebody walks in, they're feeling depressed, filled out, you know, a good 3 to 4 dozen from the problem list, these things that they're having problems, and as you go through with it, you just see the change right there. You see the change right there in your face sometimes. It's an absolute different person coming in that's going out that came in, and it is. It's just supernatural, and that's our Jesus.
And how they, I know we've talked about this before, but it just continues to amaze us how people look younger. It's obvious there's a relief in their face. You can tell there's comfort and peace that so many times they did not come in with at all. And to see that gone in the course of a few hours is most exciting. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus.
And again, if you have any questions about deliverance, it's deliveranceusa.com or doing the supernatural works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. I am looking forward to Branson this year. I'm really, it's going to be glad we didn't have a gathering last year. You get to see some people that I don't get to see that often, and I'm just looking forward to giving ministry to people. I mean, it's just, there's something about it when you gather together with the saints, just the Spirit gets to flow and there's more power. And it's just a whole different ball game than when you're by yourself. But I mean, you still have the same power and authority when you are by yourself. But it's just fun to be able to do that when you're with another gathering of a body of believers. Just like when we go to Oklahoma City, you just really feel the Spirit flowing and be able to talk with like-minded individuals who understand this this authority that we have, and the fact that there is a spiritual world out there, it does affect Christians. You get to talk with people, and it's just kind of nice to talk with people that kind of don't kind of look at you like, eh, that guy sounds kind of weird.
Yes, and yet our experience is Christians are the targets, and it's sad because Christians are very vulnerable if they don't have any understanding of this, like 1 Peter 5:8, where our adversary, the devil, stalketh about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the face, knowing the same afflictions are coming upon the brethren. And, you know, we're told as Christians to resist. Well, they're obviously there bothering Christians if we're told to do that. Even James said it, in 4:7, he said, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil. And, of course, you have to become a born-again Christian before you have anything to resist with. You have to be born again and be under the authority of the Lord Jesus for the demons to be under our authority in his name. So it's got a long ways to go, but we're working at it. That's why we're doing the show here tonight and with the testimonies. Where you can hear how Christians saw a difference in their lives after this type of ministry.
Yes, and the one thing to note, that both 1 Peter and James, those were written to Christians. They weren't talking
exactly
to believers. They were talking to the household of God at this point. You know, I've been witnessing to people. I basically used an analogy. I said, when you read the Bible, the only thing that was basically written to the unbeliever was the Gospels. And that was the good news of what Jesus came. Once you get to the book of Acts on, it is a testimony and encouragement of what Christians have done and how Christians are to be equipped. And they were written only to Christians at this point. Now, obviously, the Bible's been put together and it can be given to anyone. But it's the bottom line is, those books and those warnings were not to the unsaved. They weren't to the unbeliever. They were to the believer. And it says believers would do these things. And and it's just about time. I think that we as Christians just finally get this, because we're never going to set this country free unless we operate these things, this authority we have.
Yes. It's rampant, actually, and all over the country. I'm saddened when I think about it. I mean, my basic feeling is probably there's 90-95% of the American Christians that do not have an understanding of how to resist the devil. They don't even know he's around, and they have no idea he's causing problem areas in their lives, so they don't know to resist. And they don't know who they are in Jesus, that we have all power, and that we actually are to do the same works of Jesus in his name, John 14:12. So we're trying to get it out. It's good news. It's just more of the good news. It's the gospel is even a better deal than many have thought. We have this physical healing, and often there are spirits of infirmity. We're so blessed with what we have from the cross. It's just huge, these blessings.
It's the real deal, the complete package. And I'll tell you, today I had to go into a bank and cash a check, and I was sitting out in my van, and I was doing a little bit of paperwork, and I saw this, a late teens, early 20s young man walking, and he was just so heavily demonized. You could just see it upon him. You could see by the way he was dressed. You could see by the multicolored hair he had. And I just felt compassion for him, because he has no idea about the spiritual wards against him. Has no idea that he's been, well, I don't know, he may have an idea he's been influenced by him. But there was a time when they walked by that something like that just condemns, like, ah, well, he gets what he deserves. But in this case, I exercised, I bound the spirits that were communicating to him. I asked the Holy Spirit to speak truth to him, and ask Jesus to reveal himself to him today. And I did that in faith, and I believe that even though he'll never know who I am, I'll never know who he is, I believe that the Lord's going to work in that young man's life. And that's all because a Christian said a silent prayer for them. So just encourage you out there when you see these people, say a prayer for them. Say, use your authority. Try to bind whatever spirit is that affects them at a time. Pastor, we have our first caller here. Lori, thank you for joining us.
Hello. You're welcome.
Hi, Lori. This is Everett. So glad you called in. And
yes. Good evening.
Lori, why don't you go ahead and give some background on yourself, some history, and how you, when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then what experiences you had, and any changes you've seen when you were ministered to. So why don't you just go right ahead?
Okay. Well, my name's Lori, and I live in Oklahoma. I'm 46 years old, and I have four children, three adult children, and then an 11-year-old that I stay home as a stay-at-home mom, and I homeschool her. As for being born again, I was brought up in a Christian family, meaning that on Sunday we went to church, but Monday was a different story. I had an alcoholic father, and my mother was extremely jealous of me and very controlling. So, and my parents fought all the time. So I learned codependency at a very young age. I learned that trying to fix things for people was really what worked. Or at least in my household anyway. So being perfect and being quiet and just trying to not cause any trouble was what worked best in my family. But as for being born again, like I said, we did go to church. Even in my rebellious years, I went to church. I took my kids to church. I've been married. This is my fourth marriage that I'm actually on because of just the reckless life that I've actually lived. And even in those rebellious years and those rebellious days, I still went to church. I still saw it. But there were many times that I felt the call to get saved and then rededicate my life just because the fogginess, I just felt there was so much fog in my mind. I felt a lot of out-of-body experiences. I felt that I never really could connect with myself or with my life or even what was happening a lot of the time. But when I was, I'm 46 now, when I was about 42, my previous husband and I it was on a downward spiral, and he was an alcoholic, and with my codependency, the 7 years that we were together and married, it was my goal to fix him. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. It got worse. So the Lord actually led me to a minister at my church. She was a counselor, so I sought her help, and she led me to Celebrate Recovery. And I was able to deal with my addictions, which at that time I had been bulimic for about 30 years, 29 years and counting. And I still was bulimic at that time. So I started in Celebrate Recovery, and the Lord used it mightily in my life to really set me free in a lot of areas, to help me connect to a lot of the things in my past that had happened to me, some sexual abuse that had occurred within my family, date rape that I'd went through, just a lot of times that I had put my body out there for men to just use and abuse. Just because that's the way I was brought up, and that's the way Satan used these lies to make me believe that I really was worthless. And so anyway, as I was going through Celebrate Recovery, a lot more clarity came, a lot of the fog left, but I still, feeling saved and accepting grace and mercy just wasn't in my, I couldn't do it. And no matter how close, how much I tried to draw nigh to God and seek His face, I couldn't do it. So a lady that I actually went to Celebrate Recovery with, one day I was really struggling, and I just asked her, I said, hey, will you pray with me? And she prayed with me, and she said, why don't you come over to my house after this, and let's do, quote-unquote, a little deliverancy work. So I thought, okay, I don't know anything about that, but maybe, you know, maybe that's what I need. So I went over to her house, and she was telling me how she had worked with Everett for quite some time, and that she had experienced great healing herself just from ministering with him to other people. And so we did deliverance that night, and I felt much relief. I felt much relief when I left there. She told me, you know, who the Son sets free is free indeed, not just a little bit, but free. And so I use that verse over and over. I'm free indeed. And I went back to her a couple more times, and there was still so much fog, so much that there was no breakthrough, just a complete full breakthrough. And so I thought, okay, who is Everett Cox? I mean, the Lord brought it to me. I thought, I'm going to look this guy up and see what this is. So I looked up Everett Cox on YouTube. I found the Door Closer's Prayer. I found several. I just started listening to all of them. And the Lord allowed me much time to do that. And so the Lord actually put it on my heart to go back to her. And let me back up just a little bit. In the three times that I had went to her before, there was a spirit that kept coming that it would manifest itself, and for 3 hours she couldn't get it to loose. And she literally tried everything. We had friends come. You name it. She tried it, but we never did the Door Closer's Prayer in any of these deliverances. Which her going through, you know, being under Everett, I'm not sure why she didn't. You know, maybe that's just part of my testimony. But anyway, the Lord led me to Everett through YouTube. Did all of those. Still struggled with this. With this spirit that just still had a little bit of fog left. So I went to her, and after the Door Closer's Prayer, she was able to finally remove this spirit, which was the spirit of Jezebel. And so ever since God brought all of this together through Everett's ministry, completely through this ministry, I have totally been set free. The fog is gone. I'm able to speak in tongues. I'm able to draw nigh to God. He's able, literally, the Word is alive to me. I can sit down in the Word. I've never felt it like this in my life. It is so alive. I can feel myself in it. I can feel Jesus in it. It applies to my life. And now I truly can say I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm set free, not just a little bit, but completely free indeed. I can accept the grace. I can accept the mercy. I can actually do this for other people. I just feel finally the will of God that I prayed for thousands of times, is finally coming forth in my life and being fulfilled, because I believe the door closer's prayer was the missing link for a long time. And so I don't know if you have any questions, but that's pretty much my testimony.
Oh, how awesome, Lori. How awesome. And yes, I think our greatest contribution to the body of Christ at Deliverance Ministries is this door-closing prayer. You know, it was 40 years ago that we just started out pounding on the Spirit's commanding Him to come out. And it was hard ministry. We'd go into the wee hours, and over a period of time, the Lord started showing us about these doors, so I started putting a prayer together to deal with the doors, and of course, we kept learning about them as years went by, to where there's 15 doors we've identified today that's actually in the door-closing prayer, where people repeat, and has to do with breaking all kinds of curses, possible curses, and repenting of all kinds of things. And not all of it would apply to any one person, but it's broad enough that most people would receive some door closing, you know. And that made all the difference in the world for easier, more lasting, and efficient ministry. Because we, like I said, went into the wee hours. Well, now we're generally through about 10:30. We start at 5:30 with teaching. And then finally the door closing prayer and then ministry. But it's sure made a difference with us. And we had a case, I don't know, about a month ago, where a young lady somehow had missed the door closing prayer, kind of slipped through the cracks. And she was having all these violent manifestations, and finally, it was determined she hadn't gone through the door closing. And so the minister led her through the door closing, and praise God, she got freed up right away. I saw her when she left, and she looked quite normal. Maybe you were there that night. I don't know. But
I was.
Oh, that's right. You were there, Ralph.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was there that night or not, but I do know it's made all the difference, you know, as God has taken me back through seeing the process of this deliverance in my life. I know that it truly was the key to breaking the spirit of Jezebel off of my life. It truly was, and that was the fog. That was the final fog that I needed to get rid of in order to be where I am today. And I want to tell you one other thing, Everett. I've only been there three times to your ministry, but I come home, I just think, when I go, okay, now we're ministering to these people, and I get home and I'm like, I am the one that got ministered to. I feel like I come home more healed every time, more. Just so many more tools, so many more prayers. It's amazing. It is truly amazing. I have been so blessed to be there 3 weeks, and my life has changed. My prayer time has changed. My prayers have changed. My reading the Word has changed. It's the Holy Spirit. It is so much more, so much stronger in my life now, just because of this ministry. I'm not going to miss a single night.
Praise God. And what you say is pretty common among all the ministers. I'm the same way. And I think what happens is, you know, as we're there and speaking in Jesus' name, commanding this and to come out and that to come out, fear, anger, whatever it is, to come out as possible spirits, that we probably get some level of ministry ourselves. And I know people sitting in sometimes, just observing, you know, and learning, they tell how they had you know, they had yawns and coughs, and they had a level of yes. deliverance themselves just sitting there watching. So that's interesting.
Absolutely.
How that works. The power is in the name of Jesus. And as the name
that's
is
right.
spoken, all kinds of supernatural things happen. Well, Ralph was even there. I've forgotten. He was in town the night that young lady had all these heavy manifestations, and Ralph, why don't you quickly tell what you saw?
I was sitting out in out in the waiting area with Brother in Christ, and I thought I was hearing an alley cat because I was right by the front door. And after a couple of times, we both kind of looked at each other, and I just said, "Is that a cat?" And he's like, "No, I don't think so." So we got up and looked, and she was manifested just like a wild animal. She was acting just like a spirit animal, some sort of cat. The only way I could do it, some kind of wild cat. She was scratching and clawing, climbing on things. You could tell by looking at her eyes, she was not in control at this point. And it took a little bit, but we could get this spirit to submit to us, but we could not get it to cast out. And of course, we didn't understand. We didn't realize she'd not gone to the door closing prayer. We just assumed it was something with forgiveness. And it was amazing. I mean, it was just almost like something you see right out of the movies. It really was. But you know, it wasn't scary, because there was a time in my life that probably would have turned me white and I went the other direction.
Yeah.
You have all power and authority.
Right.
And I just looked at it as a training a training example for everybody there, because when someone's like that, and, very easily she could have got violent with somebody if we weren't using the angels, using the power and authority that we have.
Yeah.
And making that spirit submit. And that's
angels
exactly
were holding her.
Yes.
We called upon the angels to hold her. And they were, and getting her back in the chair and so forth. And that's one thing about our ministry. We don't hold people. We call upon God's angels to do it. And they do it much better than we do.
Amen.
And we've done
yes.
that for many years. Well, I'm so excited. You're going through the training now, Lori, and that's a heavy future of excitement is ahead, and fulfillment, and you've already tasted the fulfillment, and that's what we feel every Monday night. I float home, you know, and start
right.
to bed, you know, it's a pumped up from the ministry session that Monday night. So I'm sure it won't be long until you'll be you'll learn to do those points, those steps on the ministry report, and you'll be out there ministering yourself.
I look forward to that. I've sure been blessed to be under some amazing women, and like I said, I have just been so. It's just I feel so much more complete being part of this, and. It's changed my life. It's changing my family's life. You just can't imagine. It's changing my family, my kids, from living a reckless life that I lived, you know, for 30 years. I don't have, you know, my kids have made some bad choices, but God is moving through deliverance. And I praise him for it. I'm so thankful for this ministry. I'm so thankful. So thank you, Everett, and thank all of you.
Well, thank
Lori,
you.
Lori, we sure appreciate you coming on and giving your testimony, but we do have
yes.
our next caller on. And
okay.
have yourself a blessed
thank
evening.
You.
And thank you for joining
God,
us.
God bless you, Lori.
Thank You're
you
welcome.
So
see you Monday.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dom, we thank you for coming on this evening.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, Tom, so glad you called in from Washington State, way up there in the Northwest. Great to have you, and why don't you go ahead, Tom, and just start filling us in on some history on yourself and when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance, and then what experiences you've had. and changes that you may have seen in your life?
Well, I guess I started out in my studies when I got out of the Navy. Things weren't going the way I thought they should go, so I said, okay, God, I want the truth. And I kept after it. But what I really wanted to hear was just take Jesus as your personal savior, and everything will be all warm and fuzzy. But somehow it didn't work out that way. But it's been pretty exciting. There's just, we live in really exciting times, and just to see the evil in this world, and knowing that Christ is going to take over and change it, even though it seems like it's a little slow. But anyway, I got involved with a guy up in the mountains, and he introduced me to Sheldon Amory, and then shortly after that, I was introduced to Pete Peter's ministry, and I think I got on his tape ministry and listened to his TV program and ordered books and pamphlets and kind of got caught up in the Patriot movement. And thought, well, maybe I should fight the IRS. I had the idea that we were all subject to the same laws, but that was a mistake. And I don't have really good understanding of being saved. If being saved is saved from sin. Over the years, there's still been a lot of sin in my life. I mean, I don't think it was real serious sin, but sin, it was still, you know, sin is transgression of the law, and I transgress the law, and find that I still do occasionally. But I didn't really understand deliverance until I went to the Scriptures for America, Scriptures for America family reunion a few years ago, and got involved with some of the guys that had been through your deliverance classes. But I never really experienced profound changes in my life. I went through a fellow over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, who did deliverance, and he said, "Well, I don't see any demonic activity in your life." And then I thought, "Well, it's got to be. These things keep coming over me. These irrational, nasty, devious thoughts." And after I went through the session with you, I think I'm almost convinced that it wasn't something demonic, but it was actually the lust of the flesh. But since I went through your deliverance, taking my thoughts captive has become much, much easier. I still have not been able to speak in tongues or get the prayer language, even though I try it every morning. And I'm not sure where else to go with this. Do you have any questions I can answer?
Yeah, well, you know, it's all a process, and just like speaking in tongues, a lot of people do make it harder. I think we talked about that when I was on the video with you, how many people do make it harder than it really is, and they wait for something to take them over. But it sounds like you've been trying to engage with your voice box and your mouth, and I would suggest you keep trying, because I remember a good friend of mine that was also a team leader ultimately, but I prayed for him numerous times, as he often said, about wore the hair off his head from putting my hand on there trying to get him to get his tongues going. And he finally did. I can't remember exactly what it was that finally pushed it over the edge.
I think you're probably right. I think I do make things a little more difficult than they need to be. I know that the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid, but sometimes I guess I overthink things.
Yeah. Well, it's a matter of us engaging and speaking out, just like it says in Acts 2:4, that we're at Pentecost. Where Pentecost happened, and when the Holy Spirit came down, you read in Acts 2:4, they spoke. That means they had to have opened their mouths. It's one thing about it, you keep your mouth closed, nothing can come out. So they obviously somehow opened their mouths, and they must have engaged their vocal cords for any sound to come out. They had to do their physical part, and then, as Acts 2:4 says, they spoke in other tongues, in new tongues, as the Holy Spirit brought the utterance. So it's two parts, as I see it. The physical is ours. The supernatural part of it is the Holy Spirit. And somewhere in there, as a person gets focused that way, they finally break out. I remember when I received 40 years ago, it was June 17, 1978, and when these pastors were praying for me, I'd lost a daughter, and I needed this. I mean, this agony wouldn't go away, and they had explained that I would need to open my mouth. They were going to take me through the prayer, but they would be speaking in tongues, and I needed to open my mouth and try to engage with my voice box, even do something kind of like they were doing, and then at some point there, I would have my own. If I would just engage,
I don't know whether it's Holy Spirit or my own thought process. I just keep having this feeling that there's something else that I need to learn, something that I need to figure out. And for whatever reason, I seem to have a bit of a block. But I've always, I won't say I've always, but in later years, I have faith that when I need something, it will come. I don't know if I'm right about that or not, but that's something that keeps coming, coming into my mind. You need to learn something.
Well, maybe
I haven't figured it out yet.
Maybe you're just trying to think about it too much. I've seen people receive their tongues when I hadn't explained anything about it, and we were at the end of the deliverance, and the anointing was really strong, and I just had my hand on him and started speaking in tongues on his head. I had my hand on his head, and the person would start up, and I hadn't explained how to do it at all, so there wasn't any thinking about it and how to do it. But just stay at it, because I look at it this way: you did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because when we were on the Zoom video. You went through the prayer of asking Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And the way I read it, when a person does that, he doesn't receive a stone or a scorpion, but he receives the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:9-13. It's exactly what it says. If you ASK, you will receive the Holy Spirit. So with that, with that, Tom, you get to speak in tongues if you just open your mouth and do it.
Well, I will definitely keep trying every day like I have been.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm doing just to block it. I can't say for sure.
You know,
it's just.
Tom, this is.
It's this peace and this ability to control my thoughts that is amazing. Because I know before.
So you're doing well.
I could say perish the thought and pray to Christ that Satan get behind me, and it would not. My thoughts would still run to evil. I mean, I don't mm-hmm. mean I did a lot of evil things, but these evil thoughts, angry, wanting to I'll fight back. You know, this repression that we're going through, as our country's going through. There's just a great deal of evil, but
yes,
you know, I do see the victory ahead.
So are you doing better in the lust area? You doing better, Tom, with the sexual lust?
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely.
Praise God.
Tom,
well, you're advancing.
Tom, when I went through deliverance. I had a I overcame a 30-year pornography addiction, and towards the end, even before deliverance, the addiction, it wasn't like it was an everyday thing, but it was something I constantly fought with. And after deliverance,
yes.
It got easier. I would have to say
yes.
that it wasn't until my fourth deliverance that I was able to get the entire desire gone. Up until that fourth deliverance with me, it was, and I can look back and see why some of those things were there. There were some significant circumstances still going on in my life, and I was still battling a spiritual battle in some ways, but it got progressively easier. So use that perish of thought. That's probably one of the best tools there are right there. I wouldn't get too worried about that prayer language there. You, as Pastor said, you've asked for it. I believe you received it. I have seen people speak in a flowing language. I've seen people nothing came, but as we're together, I've seen these same people where nothing came. They were able to interpret a good majority of the tongues that were spoken. So it's a gift I think is available to all Christians, but it may not be your strongest gift. Before you know, you may be the one that starts interpreting for everybody. You may be the one that has the gift of prophecy, might have the gift of healing. So it's there. It may come and it just is a rushing wind for you, and you may not even know it, and it may just come a little bit at a time. The way it happened for me is I had spoken a tongue a couple of times before I met Everett, and I'd seen it many times. I knew I was seeing it in order and the way it was supposed to be, but that day in his office when he asked for one to go through the baptism, the prayer of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had prayed it before. I don't know if I truly understood it, but I prayed it, but the minute the hands was touched on me, it was a flowing language. And as I've grown, as I've grown using that language, it's gotten it has gotten where it's more than just a few words and a few phrases, and you can tell when there's sentences, you can see sentence structures, and people are interpreting it. And as I've grown too, I've interpreted messages as well as they've been given. So there's a lot of things that are there that as you grow and you use these tools that are available to you, that you're going to be able to overcome. And will you be able to make Branson this year?
Not this year, no.
If you were, we would definitely get you more. We'll get you some more ministry if you were. But keep using it, and the victory's there. This is a tool for the victory, and as long as you keep using it, and it takes some self-deliverance and self-maintaining, I have faith you're going to get there. I have faith you're going to get there and completely overcome this.
Well,
yes.
That's the only thing that keeps me going is the faith that, you know, it will happen. Some things have been a little rough, but whatever bad has been in my life, it's been overcome with good. And I just keep the faith that will happen. And I think it's when I need it, it'll be there. Well, I don't think it will. I'm sure it will be.
Yes. just keep at it, you will, just like my friend. One day, he just cut loose like a machine gun, praying in tongues, and he has been ever since. And so, you will just keep believing for you there, Tom.
Well, I appreciate Tom, that. I hope you pray for, praying for me, too, because I'm praying for you guys.
Hey. Amen. Well, thank you, sir. Have you seen any other changes in your life that come to you to share?
Not really. I did have a bit of a bad day on Monday. I went to work on an old heat pump, and when I was trying to get the unsweat one of the lines out of there, it came loose, and I had the torch on it, caught the oil on fire, and blew it all right in my face. I'm in healing right now.
Oh. Well, definitely a tribulation. Well, we just agree you're healed supernaturally. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. We declare that. We just declare your skin is totally
Amen.
Healed this very moment. And any pain
Amen.
Or discomfort in Jesus' name is now gone. Jesus' name. Total healing.
Amen. Complete healing.
Total healing.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, there was very little pain. And in fact, have you ever heard of a group called Fireburn Doctors?
No.
They've been doing the same sort of thing, healing at long distance. And I had forgotten, I had this number on my telephone, on my cell phone, for years. And I just kind of forgot about it. And on my way home from the job, I thought, well, maybe I should call these guys. So, and I also listened to this guy, Dave, the Praying Medic. He's a medic. And he does a lot of healing. So it was just more and more and more evidence of healing, you know, up close and even at a distance. And it's something that I really, really want to learn. And that was the reason
Hallelujah.
I called you, is because, you know, this deliverance is was not new to me, but it finally, it's just the desire to come to this understanding was there, and I had to get a hold of you and find out how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I Praise find God. It does work. Maybe not in the way that I want it to. It just in the same way that when I started to pray to God for the truth, it didn't come all at once. It came in mm-hmm. little bits. Well, as Pastor Peters used to say, you know, you have to have the milk before you graduate to the meat. And that's mm-hmm. the only way I can look at it, is that must be the way it is for me. That there's something that I need to learn and understand, and I keep going back to that. It's the, you know, the glory of God to hide a thing, the glory of kings, and we're supposed to be kings and priests. It's the glory of kings and priests to search out a thing. So I'm still searching.
And you find. Well, again, we all
and
agree here that you're healed right now, that skin, and I want you to keep saying you're healed as we hang up. You remember the power of the tongue. We talked about that. And we just speak to that right now. We command immediate healing and that skin in your face that was singed or burned there. We command immediate healing. Any pain is now gone in Jesus' name. Pain and discomfort,
Amen.
Go. And we command total healing now in Jesus' name. Well, thank you, brother, for calling in. We're out of time. Appreciate it.
Yes, Tom.
And I'll be checking with you, Tom, some more.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, Tom. And use,
you
and I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have, but keep using that website because all the training's on there. And it's one of the best ways of learning is repetition. I've set many hours in Everett's training room and I get something new every time I'm there.
Even the baptism of the Holy Spirit is on the
video.
I'd really like
to watch what goes on there.
Just casting
thank
out
you
demons
all very much. It was good to talk to you.
Right. Thank God you, brother, for coming on this evening.
Bye-bye.
You're more than welcome. Bye.
Again, that's deliveranceusa.com. That website does have all the training there. If you're not able to get to Oklahoma City or even come to Branson, you can go there and all the training's available. It's at no charge. Or you get the book, Doing the New Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox, which is just a great written manual to have. And it just lays out the scriptures and uses the steps. And the great thing about, once you learn deliverance, makes it easy is they have that checklist. And that checklist helps you remember the steps to follow. And these steps are there. It's just like making a cake. It makes it easier if you follow the order of the steps versus trying to do one step before you get to the other step. The end result may be a cake, but it may not be as good as cake as if you baked it the right order. But if you are needing ministry, let us know, and we will get it for you in Branson. And we do thank everybody for joining this evening. We will see you next week. Have a great evening. God bless.
God bless.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.